Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. 630 Chad and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Hour number three. You still with me? I hope so. We've got the main host of this program. We wrangled him, got him out of the traffic at LAX. I'll tell you first, before we get to Bob, though, that Royal Pizza is pizza, pasta, and so much more. For a menu and a list of locations, you can head to royalpizza.ca. Get those texts in at 780-496-0063. Let's go with the news of the day to bring aboard our Bob Stauffer. Bob, you worked with Bob Cole at some point, did you not?
I did. Hello, Brendan. Yes, and I will tell you that about 20 minutes ago, we had our Chris Knobloch availability. Spoke to Chris as well as Darnell Nurse and Matthias Janmark. So we literally landed, got stuck in traffic, got to the hotel, put our stuff in our hotel rooms, and went straight down and did the availability. So thank you very much for doing the show today, and I know we'll talk some later stuff in a second. So for a number of years, from about 1996 to 2001, I did Font Gordon Stats, which was a great job for, you know, a guy who maybe hoped to be a broadcaster one day, because you got a chance to work with some of the best guys in the business. And I kind of worked myself in a position where maybe I might have been the second best guy in Western Canada. The best guy is David Moyer, who still, to this day, does CFL football and NHL. And when David had CFL conflicts in October and November, and the Golden Bears weren't playing because I was doing the Golden Bears games, but I did Golden Bears football in the fall and hockey in the winter, I would often end up getting games in Calgary and Edmonton with Bob Cole doing play-by-play. So four or five times I ended up working next to Coley, and then, you know, would see him, once I started doing the drive show on the other station in 03. But yeah, at least four or five times I did the actual stats for Bob. He had great vision. Like he could read the play really well. Obviously, tremendous passion in the voice. And I know that you've had John Shannon and Ron McLean on, and we're talking for a lot of the people out there right now. They might say he's the best play-by-play guy they've ever heard. I will tell you that he understood the game at a real good level. That's something that Danny Gallivan brought as well. Danny knew how to build the crescendo. Bob knew how to have the right inflection in his voice at the right time. And then, of course, to go from, you know, doing stats and graphics for broadcasters in the league, like, what an opportunity to learn from those guys, and then to turn around and do both play-by-play and color at different times in the NHL. And may I add, more than just one team. I did play-by-play for San Jose, filled in for them as well. It's funny. I ended up seeing Bob when I got the Oilers job in 08, and I remember he said, well, I thought you had a chance, big fellow, but he had a real appreciation for Captain Morgan's. He was a very funny guy. He had a thing about getting the, we have a broadcaster meetings. You're aware of this. Maybe not all the listeners are, but when they see Chris Knobloch in an availability on a game day, after those availabilities, the respective broadcasters, national, and then the team broadcasters meet with their coach. The national broadcasters meet with the coaches from both teams, and most of the coaches are quite willing. There's stuff that's said in the, that's basically in camera, that's not supposed to be shared, but helps steer you in terms of doing the broadcast. And so, he was a guy that had a, the last time I remember seeing him, we were in Montreal a couple of years ago with Jay Woodcroft, and he was asking for, the line combinations. And Jay, as you know, but he wasn't playing any games with Bob. He told Bob Cole exactly what we were doing.
Now, so
what
we've seen with Chris Knobloch. He didn't have to wait and see what came out the gate, hey?
You nailed it, my man. You nailed it. Now, I will tell you, full disclosure, Jack and me and Cam know what's going to come out of the gate. Jay was always very honest and upfront with us, and you've seen point blank with Chris Knobloch. He doesn't hold anything back. He just tells you, this guy's in. Yep, we're going to roll with the same lineup, and away you go. So, but he had a great talent. One of the things that he did is he would undo his pants. In the booth at times, just to get a little bit more, get further down the diaphragm and he'd loosen them up a bit. And, it's funny because I worked with Rod Phillips as well, the final 2 years with Rod, and Rod had, and I think passion's the word you're looking for. You know what? Like, if you're passionate, like I broadcast the Oilers games, and I'm lucky to work with, Jack and Cam, and sometimes I get exasperated because I've got high standards for the Oilers, and sometimes I get accused of being an outright homer if I'm going at the refs, but I'm also watching the most gifted player we've ever seen in the league, and it seems like the standard for him when he gets called on a penalty is different than the standard on players that don't get called penalties because, quote-unquote, we can call a penalty every time he's on the ice. And Bob brought that passion. Rod brought that passion, and I think that passion is something that fans can relate to. So, he had a great life. He had a wonderful career. He did not sweat fools. He didn't take any crap from anybody. He certainly, if you were smart and could read, off of how he did things, you could improve yourself at your own craft. The best guys come to quickly realize, okay, they take the best strengths of the respective people that they're maybe working with and are better than them, and then they apply them to their own game. And that's how players improve, and that's how broadcasters can improve too.
5-decade-long career for Bob Cole. Just incredible stuff, and a legacy that I think extends beyond just hockey. I mean, people are texting us here saying this is the soundtrack to my childhood, or the soundtrack of a nation almost, when you're talking about some of these goals that he had the privilege of calling in the NHL. But beyond that, Bob, I mean, he's synonymous with Salt Lake and that sort of thing as well. So certainly a sad day. It was nice, though, to look back on something like the closing of Rexall Place and him being involved in that.
Yeah, and I remember we did, it was before your time, but we did, because I remember Brendan Ulrich was there for that night. We introduced all the players that came back, and it was my job to fill in some information on some of those players and provide a little bit of color from that perspective. And it was about an hour and 15 minutes, and it was great having Bob down there. And I also remember the first time that he met Connor McDavid. Would have been in Montreal during the 15-16 regular season. It was actually a matinee game, and Ben Scriven stoned the Oilers. The Oilers ended up losing 5-1 on the... So right after McDavid had gotten to Columbus and then Ottawa and was going pretty good. I think he'd had like 7 points in his first two games back, and then Edmonton lost 5-1 to Montreal. But Connor had made a couple moves that were just unbelievable and rushes that didn't end up in the net, Montreal. And I can't remember if it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, he was doing some playoff, it was before the pandemic, he did some games for the Canadians games in the playoffs, and you're thinking, this guy's 83 or 84 years old, he's still really good. So sad in a way, but also a great celebration of a really talented but unique guy. Like, he didn't, I'm certainly nowhere near as tight to him as either, John Shannon or Ron McLean would be. But I can tell you that I learned a lot just from watching him and observing him.
What did we learn in game two last night, watching the Oilers chasing LA and ultimately maybe running out of either gas or time, one of the two, but falling by a goal in overtime again?
The listeners today and from the texters.
You know what? There's a certain lament for some of the goals that got past Skinner, and I think that there's, you know, a level of which I do agree with that to a certain extent. But you know, I think you can look elsewhere on the ice as well. So that would be the biggest thing for me. Well, I mean, it's nice that they're not too high or low.
Yeah, a couple things here. We've been in this position before with the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings. It's just how we got there to 1-1's different. Definitely missed opportunity. I can all but guarantee you that Stuart Skinner would be the first to tell you he's got to come up with a couple more saves. He'd like to have a better start, and it is a little bit concerning if you take a look at the overall body of work of the playoffs. But, you know, sometimes when it appears as though it's not happening for him, that's when he takes a step forward. So I'm hoping that that's going to occur. I did not like, you know, it's funny, Nugent Hopkins along with Draisaitl and Fogle had a rough game, and Warren Fogle in particular for me had his fingerprints on a couple of sequences that led, I mean, the first goal against, you know, Warren probably could have crashed in and got to the wall and won a puck battle, kind of flew the zone a bit early. The second goal against was part of a, you know, he was the F3 and instead he jumped in and tried to make a play and it went the wrong way, and suddenly, you know, they're coming up the ice. And even on the Doughty goal, even though Nugent Hopkins ended up racing back, and it looked like he's the guy that it was actually Fogle. It started all the way back in the offensive zone. So that line needed to be better, and I'm not sure you're going to see that line together tomorrow. I think you might see a little bit of deviation with the lines. We'll have to wait and see on that front. So they scored enough to win. And it should be noted that the save that Cam Talbot, he made two of them. The two saves that he made off of Leon Draisaitl on the power play at the end of the second period probably won the game for LA. Because as Rob Brown mentioned last night after the game, like if the Oilers score there, they put up three goals in the second period. You know, it's a completely different game heading to the third. So missed opportunity, need better goaltending, need, you know, they had some good work from Holloway, but I was a little bit bummed out last night. I thought, geez, you had a chance to go up here 2-0.
It looks like Philip Deneau was okay after getting absolutely filled in by Zach Hyman on that one. Yeah. And the reason I bring this up now is because in Los Angeles, of course, they get the opportunity to line match however they would like. Do you see that having more of an impact as we move into games 3 and 4 here now that Jim Hiller has that kind of control?
Actually, I don't, and I'll tell you why, because I think Deneau wants... Hiller wants to know, you know, line up against Connor McDavid, Brendan, and I don't think the Oilers worry about that matchup against Connor McDavid. What's got to happen is Draisaitl's line's got to play better against the Kopitar line, and they got to manage the game better against that line, and maybe not cheat for offense as much as a couple guys cheated at times yesterday. So I don't think, I got to be honest with you, I think I don't see the Oilers moving away from matchups at home, and so I think they're just going to let it roll.
Dylan Holloway, somebody that looks like he could be playing in the top six or the bottom six right now. I mean, it's tough to see a fourth line player steal the spotlight like that, but he looks great, and I wonder how much of this you think is sustainable.
I think, you know what I think of Dylan Holloway, like I feel bad for him. You know, it's if you told me 2 years ago when we were in Penticton and then in training camp that we'd have this discussion that, you know, is Dylan finally making, you know, some hay here, I would have said this late. Like, you know, I think they pivoted too quickly away from him. Sometimes with younger players, with younger people, you just got to roll with it and help the guy grow. And some people might assert, well, no, you know, they should have sent him right back down the minors. There's no way, Brennan, if you had been in Penticton 2 years ago and you were at 4 of the 8 preseason games 2 years ago, there's no way, based on merit, you would have been justified in sending Dylan Holloway back to the minors. He deserved way better than that. So I'm hoping that he's starting to, you know, turn the page and get head in the direction that I think he can get to as a player.
And then on the other side of the ice, you've got Quentin Byfield basically doing the same thing, maybe a little further along in terms of development or what have you. But there's a guy that when they move him up the lineup, he can be devastatingly impactful, plus four, and he was on the ice for less than 18 minutes last night. I was surprised to read that.
And he belted Connor McDavid, who, and you know the story, Quentin Byfield was represented by Jeff Jackson. And so I know, and we've talked about this before, I actually talked to Todd yesterday, Todd McClellan, but during that draft year, you know, it was Byfield and Stützle for, you know, who's going to go number two. And I believe that Stützle was going to be better early in his career, but I believe that Byfield was going to end up intersecting and becoming the better player long term. And to be frank with you, he's ahead of where I thought he was going to be. And I think that we're going to be looking at Quentin Byfield in 3 or 4 years from now being the face of the LA Kings organization. I think he's got a huge upside. He's a big man that can skate. He's got skill. He's scored some unbelievable goals this year, and he's got a little bit of bite in his game as well, and he's been a force in this series.
And so we'll end with this. I mean, we're going to get the full preview from you tomorrow at about 4:30 and when we drop the puck on our show. But just as far as things go for the team, what's the plan for tonight? Get a meal in, get a skate in tomorrow and sort of normal?
Yeah, they're getting a workout in, and then they get a meal in later. And then obviously they're gonna skate around 11 o'clock tomorrow, you know, at Crypto.com Arena, and they're gonna have to dig in. Because I think it's fair to say that you can make a strong argument that the LA Kings, their work rate was better than Edmonton's, and the Oilers is, you know, Edmonton completely dictated the pace in game number one, and the Oilers are going to have to find a way to do that tomorrow night here in Los Angeles as well.
Looking forward to it all, Bob. Appreciate you jumping aboard here. Enjoy the night tonight.
Hey, thanks for doing the show, Brendan. Take care.
Yeah, of course. That's our Bob Stauffer live in Los Angeles. He'll have the call alongside Jack Michaels tomorrow night at 8:30. But of course, you're going to hear him about 4 hours previous to that as we get you set with Oilers Now and then the Face-Off show as well. You are listening to the final 40 minutes of Oilers Now this evening. It's Brendan Escott in the big chair, and we'll be back after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
NFL draft going on as we speak. Caleb Williams, the projected number one overall pick, has indeed gone to the Chicago Bears, who they've tried this before. Justin Fields was not the answer. Is Caleb Williams the answer? Time will tell. Time will tell, but we're focused on hockey for the next several months, right? And maybe we'll check in around the league right now as we look at two games going on out east in the second period. The Lightning are up 2-1 on the Panthers, and that might actually be Tampa's first lead in this series here in game 3. Elsewhere, you've got the Hurricanes up 2 goals on the Islanders in New York, and that could be a 3-0 lead if the score after 20 minutes holds after 60 minutes as well. Tomorrow night, busier schedule and far more entertaining one. You get the Capitals and Rangers at 5 o'clock, Canucks and Preds at 5:30 in Nashville, Jets and Avalanche. That one shifts to Colorado, tied up 1-1. They'll play tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and then, of course, our game live from Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles between the Oilers and Kings is an 8:30 Edmonton time puck drop. Could be worse. Well, actually, frankly, it couldn't. This is the latest that it could get. What could be worse about it is it could come not on a Friday. Sunday, game 4. Sadly, is also an 8:30 puck drop. But c'est la vie. It's playoff time. This is what we save our energy for. This is what the players condition themselves for. I guess we could think about staying up late throughout the regular season as conditioning ourselves for this, but it doesn't really work that way, does it? It is just about time to turn things over to the newsroom. And Thomas Dias reading the newscast, I should say. I made the mistake earlier on, but lots of texts coming in here. Craig says, good interview with the Kings announcer. Don't quite understand why Doughty wouldn't like being compared to the top defenseman around the league. That was a motivational tactic, and I absolutely love it. Get inside the head of that individual and pry the most out of them. You're good, but I'm mentioning these other guys, too. I think it was the second game between Florida and Tampa. So he's talking about goaltending now, this texter is. There's no way our goaltending can match what the top teams have, he says in short. And frankly, I can't argue with you because as has been demonstrated over the last couple of years, Skinner has some growth. But the good news is he's the first one to admit that. And you've still got a team playing pretty good defensive hockey in front of him. Not great. I'm not disillusioned in that. It's not great, but it is better, and they still have the deepest defense core that they have had in a number of years. So there you go. Marv sending us a late text. It's not an 8:30 puck drop. It's an 8:50 puck drop from what I hear. That might be the case, Marv. That may well be the case. I don't have the game script in front of me, but given that the other game is the Canadian team, the Jets and Avs at 8, you're probably right about that one. Disappointing, but we'll power through it. Keeping the eyes on the NFL draft again, Jaden Daniels, the Heisman-winning quarterback out of LSU, is now the second overall pick. I think more people are going to be interested to see what New England does here at number 3. That's right. We can talk about more than just hockey. I know it peeves some of you, but we can do it here on this show. We certainly can. Hey, I'll remind you quickly that some guests of this show do receive gift cards to Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. Let's let Thomas Dias get you caught up on the news headlines. We'll come back and we'll find Reed Wilkins in the meantime.